My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christmas is very dear to us. Its customs and symbols and family habits and so forth, and the great visits and the things that we do become some of our oldest and most precious memories, both as individuals and as families, but also as a society. I think we haven't entirely lost it, but maybe it's even coming back a little bit, I'm not sure. I think one of the reasons, however, why Christmas is so dear to us is because we think about Jesus in a way that is not maybe quite so threatening to us. You know, today we see him as a tiny baby rather than as he truly is right now, this instant, risen and glorious, or as he will be when he comes again in glory at the second coming, as King of fearful majesty, the just judge, who will unmake the world in fire and judge the living and the dead. The tiny baby is a little bit less awesome than that. The image of the risen Christ, who will come as judge and king, forces us to take stock of our lives, confront our moral faults. But at Christmas we can focus on the Lord and his great humility and his near helplessness as an infant and his great love for us. He emptied himself of so much glory to become so small. As Augustine says, the eternal Word of God became a speechless child. What an awesome mystery this is. So our Lord at Christmas makes us feel rather safe and loved. Of course, even in the joy of these beautiful images that we have, the feast and the nativity, we must never forget that the wood of the crib foreshadows the wood of the cross. The first shedding of his infant blood at his circumcision a few days after his birth is a foreshadowing of how he will shed his blood at his passion and death. As we look on the manger scene, I invite you also, if you have children with you, to come up afterwards and look a bit at the manger scene that you have. You can see Christ's mother, our Lord's perfect disciple, the daughter of her infant son. The daughter of her son, as Dante calls her in the Divine Comedy, she's gazing at Jesus. In artwork, we often see Mary holding, she's holding the Lord, she's holding his little head. Like you who have been parents, remember, you have to hold the baby's head because their necks aren't strong enough to bear their head's own weight. Well, 3 decades later, Mary will once again gaze on the face of her son, this time bruised and battered beyond the recognition of a man. And with her mother's hands, she will once again have to hold up his head, which could no longer bear its weight. In Bethlehem, Calvary is foreseen. Mary gazes at the Lord at all times during her life. She's always, as John Paul II wrote in the apostolic letter that he wrote, maybe many years ago, you remember that there was a holy year dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. And I remember in that letter, it just came to me right now, that Mary is always redirecting our gaze back to the Lord, which is one of the reasons why every feast of Mary is really a feast of the Lord. Every time we engage in a Marian devotion, she's always redirecting us back to the Lord. Even in our gospel reading today, we hear about how she, after all these things were going on, she contemplated, she held them in her heart to contemplate them. You imagine her gazing at the face of the Lord, considering the great things that the Lord had done in her and for us. So contemplating and considering our Lord carefully is one of the most important things that we can do in this life. And our Blessed Mother can teach us how to do this, how to gaze on the face of Christ, how to learn from him both who we are and what we are to do in this life. How urgently, how very desperately this world and all of our homes and all of our hearts need the light of Christ. And we can come to Christmas one more year One more year in our life. You know, the mysteries that Holy Church presents to us year in and year out, they don't change, but we do. Every year is a little different. And that means that we will receive, we are able to receive the content of these mysteries in a different way every year. Year in and year out, we are a little different. So we can gather in, we can get more of what the Lord wants to give us in this constant return to the celebration of these mysteries. And so can we really, can we come to Christmas one more year and not listen to a deep call to holiness, a call to have a transforming encounter with the mystery who is Christ, a call then that leads to action. Mary pondered things in her heart. This is said about her several times. She ponders things in her heart, and then she acts. She speaks out. You remember at the time of her Magnificat, what it said, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She rushed to Elizabeth, and then there burst forth from her this great Magnificat, explaining all the great things that the Lord had done. She ponders, and then there's an outward action. This is also our model for discipleship as good Christians. We take in what the Lord wants to give, consider it, and then it has to give outward expression. Now in this Christmas season, when the days are finally starting to grow longer, light is given to us day by day in greater abundance. Driving in today, I don't know if, what direction, maybe some of you were driving, you may have seen the sunrise this morning. The sun rose just at about the time when we were 3 minutes before Mass was supposed to start at this point of the year. So it's very happy to use the second Mass of Christmas. Lux fulgebit, the light flashed like lightning. Light fulgebit, it flashed. And so this is rightly called the Mass at dawn, and we hit it right on the nose practically. So as the day by day rosy-fingered dawn is getting a little bit earlier, bring Christ into every corner of your lives, like light into any kind of shadow that there might be, without any reserve or hesitation, without any neglect, without any fear. In his 2009 sermon for Holy Mass for Christmas, Pope Benedict spoke of the example of the shepherds who hastened to the Lord. They hastened. Well, of course, when an angel tells you to do something, you know, probably good idea to do it right away, not dawdle. But they hastened to the Lord. In contrast to those who came from afar, the wise guys, the intellectuals, who took a long path, took a long time for them to get there. But the shepherds rushed to see what was going on. Benedict reminded us that many of us are distant from the Lord and wandering around on paths and maybe taking their time, even though the clock is going tick, 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 tick on every one of us. We lose opportunities every day that we live. We gain them, but we can lose them too. There are a lot of people for whom the Lord is very far down in their list of priorities. Well, our worship of God and all that goes with it in the life of the church should be at the top of our list of things to do. Because it's only because of our proper relationship with God that we can have all other of our relationships in this world and all other of our activities in this world in the proper order and with the right aim. It has to be ordered from the top down. Priority always to God, and then all of our other relationships and activities can be in their proper order. You know, we can't, speaking of the perfect disciple, our Lady, and as being the model for our own discipleship, contemplating things inwardly and then giving outward voice, outward action, we can't go from worship in church out into the world without ourselves trying to hold up perhaps the weak head of our neighbor, those who are in need of mercy. corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Christmas is all about the way that Christ comes to us, in the second coming, of course, but also in the first coming, but in every other way he comes to, whether it's at Holy Communion, at the altar rail, or in the words of Scripture, but also in the person of people who really are needy. They might not have it stapled to their forehead, "I need something." You might have to pay attention and figure out what it is that they need and what kind of sacrifice you have to make in order to help them. In this time of giving and generosity, do not forget to give the great gift of Christ to your neighbor, even if it is in the simple way in which you treat him or talk to him. That can be very hard because people can be really annoying. But in your own relationships, you might consider, how do I talk to my neighbor? My neighbor, of course, your closest neighbors, it may be in those in your family or at work or wherever it might be. Teresa of Calcutta said that when you smile at a person, it's Christmas once again. So you can bring light into somebody else's darkness. You can give a gift of Christmas to people who need him as much as you need him, especially by being inviting to them, showing them a good example of what it means to live as his disciple in a world which is increasingly dark, difficult, and divided. I'd invite you to perhaps adopt a project for your Christmas and for your coming year. Start thinking about how you might bring people who are fallen away from the church back to Holy Church. Maybe they've strayed into error and maybe habits that don't leave any room for God anymore. And when I say brothers and sisters, that could be literal. I mean, all of our families have this issue of division from the faith, and you know people who are fallen away. They could be children or grandchildren or parents or friends or whoever they might be. Be inviting to them and be joyful with them. There is something very attractive about joy. People want to be happy, and when they see other people are happy, they want to know what it is that's making them happy. They want to be happy too. Share joy with them. It's with all of the turbulent things that are going on in the church today, maybe that some of the people are falling away because of that. But you know, think about it this way. What a great honor it is to be brought into the world at this particular time in the church's history, with all of the difficulties and confusion and chaos and so forth that's going on, with all the difficult things going on in society, of all the possible universes that God could have created, this is the one he created. And he brought us into existence now, at this point in time, here and now, not at some other time. This is the time he wanted us to live, and he knew that we would be in this time before the creation of the cosmos. And so if we can be truly dedicated, truly, truly devout in our vocations, God will give us every actual grace that we need in order to fulfill our vocation well, because we are fulfilling our small part in his great plan for the entire cosmos. What an honor it is to live in difficult times, because even greater graces are being offered us than if the times were easy. Show joy, therefore, at all of the aspects of what's going on, even in the confusion that we see around us. Be joyful. It's attractive. Show joy to people who have fallen away. And be inviting. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. It may be that you have to invite once or twice or five times or 10 times, happily, cheerfully. And maybe that final, the 10th time they might accept, and it might change a life. When I think back on my own journey into the church, and then my journey toward the priesthood, and the various things that have happened, even my coming to Madison, every single one of them found a turning point at an invitation. How about you do this? from someone else. And each time, it was a profound turning point in life. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. Finally, you know, this is a time of giving. We cannot give what we don't have. So do your best. If you want to give Christ to others, make sure that you have him yourself. If there's anything that's disordered in life, well, take steps. Do something about it. Go to confession if you need to. Go to confession often. And be prepared always to make sacrifices. Remember that the wood of the manger always foreshadows the wood of the cross. When things are difficult or you're challenged in any way at all, remember that we have to, just as we have to stay close to the manger, we have to stay close to the cross. In fact, we have to stay up there on the cross too. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.